what's the good word? Larry, you there? Excuse me.
Hey,
hello, who's on?
Janie.
Hi, Janie.
We're in separate rooms, so we're each
Larry
on a room.
On. I don't know where he went.
He probably just hit the mute button.
Most likely. What's been happening the last couple of days since Monday?
We're having to hire some more bird dogs because some of ours have kind of fell off the wagon.
Yeah, so, crazy.
We got
how easy it was to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what can you do? Nothing.
And the bicycle is still, he's still doing his thing.
That cracks me up.
We just got to get
everybody in the car. Yeah.
Mike Drace coming in.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
So how many leads, what's the lead count at? Vacant?
Oh, 270 maybe.
Okay. And how many are skip trays?
I think over 200.
Okay. And how many have been called?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I haven't talked to her.
We got to go right to those numbers because here's what it's about now. Keep the leads coming in. Keep getting them skip traced. Keep salesperson, whoever that is, doesn't matter, on the phone. Somebody's got to be calling them. And the number one KPI to track, how many offers did we make today? How many this week? How many this month? If you want to know why you're killing it, you can go right to how many offers are being made, and you'll know why. If you want to know why, and this is ever, as a real estate investor, why aren't things going the way I would like them to, you don't have to look any further than number of offers made.
Yeah.
That is everything else we do, and you've heard me say it before, time and time again, everything else we do is geared around that one thing. How do we get more offers out the door? Because at the end of the day, that's the whole point of all the rest of it, right? So when you're doing when you're checking in on Fridays and you're filling out the sheet, if you have leads and they are skip traced and your offers number is at zero, and you're thinking to yourself, why don't I have anything moving forward? Why don't I have a contract? This, that, and the other. You don't have to look any farther than numbers. So the reason, again, we talked about this on all the orientation calls, but those, when you check in on Friday, it's twofold. Helps us see what's going on, where you're at. Number two, teaches you what to track. How many leads did we generate this week? How many new buyers did we meet this week? How many sellers did we talk to this week? How many offers did we make this week? And the numbers will tell the whole story. So,
yeah.
I'm, you know, not putting you on the spot, Janie, just because you didn't know that answer. I'm just reminding everybody, the numbers tell the story. You don't ever have to look past the numbers.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes if you have a bunch of phone calls and you're not getting a hold of anybody, let's talk about it, figure out what's going on, right? Because other things can get in the mix. You can have a poor skip tracing or whatever the case. Other things can happen, but you don't ever have to look past the numbers. And that's anything, right? That's not news to anybody. Just look at the numbers.
A couple of the ones that he has called, you know, he's not getting anybody. Or
yeah, so leaving messages is going to be a part of it. But so then we need to start talking about, well, if it's wrong numbers, we've got to know that. If it's right numbers but leaving a message, he's got to be calling back at different times of the day to try and get people. And then we've got to look at the message script, right? What's the voicemail that's being left? That kind of stuff, so we can kind of get in the trenches a little bit. If it's just a poor numbers thing, then we've got to go back and see what's going on with our skip tracer. Are they really using the good services that, you know, maybe they're telling you they're using? Because you should get about 70%, sometimes it's even better than that, about 70% good numbers if they're on Lexus. Nexus. TLO will be even higher than that.
Yeah. Well, I asked him what he was using after he did the first 30, and he said he was using the premium white pages or something. And I said, if you have the LexisNexis, use that. And he said, okay, yeah, I do. He said, I'll use that from now on. I said, okay. Well, okay. I don't know. I assume he is. What,
we'll
you
track.
Know.
Yeah.
Just take
track
a look
those
for
numbers.
It.
Track those numbers because somebody could tell you that they have access to whatever. So
mm-hmm.
I've asked I asked the last VA I hired for a screenshot. I said, log into that thing and send it over to me because I had somebody, you know, I just told them I had somebody tell me they had it and they didn't. So I just need to verify. So that's how I handled it. If that's the case, like I said, it's not uncommon to get 70% plus good numbers out of Lexis.
Okay.
So yep, keep track of that stuff. But yeah, more leads, get them skip traced, you know, more of the same. It's you know, it's the recipe. Get more outbound calls, talk to more sellers, make more offers, get some deals in that pipeline.
Yeah, I did go through the all the seller, no, the buyer leads.
Okay.
That the source from Whistler. And I had him skip trace some of those, and Larry's been calling them.
Nice.
Buyers, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, simultaneously, yeah. Right? Have a salesperson on the seller leads. And here's the other thing with those seller leads, too. If you're not getting results, you've got to get somebody else on that can get results. So, you know, this is just part of owning the business is, you know, who's sitting in this seat and how are they doing? I mean, you guys have been on a lot of calls. You've heard the stories about, you know, somebody gets on the phone and within 48 hours we're having conversations and making offers, and it doesn't always happen, but it tends to happen fairly quick. So, you know, you've got to be on it. How many calls is your salesperson making? Are you only making 10 a day? That's not going to cut it.
Yeah.
Are they putting in 5 hours a day? Now we're talking, right? How much time, energy, and effort is being put in? So either they can provide what your business needs or they can't. So you don't need to give too long a leash to people here.
This is Larry again. We have another acquisition person coming on board Monday. He's a friend of mine, retired salesman, was a six-figure salesman for 20 years, always paid his FICA taxes by the middle of February, and he is bored, ready to get out of retirement. So I'm very excited about the guy.
Cool.
The other way, I was calling on the buyers, and I reached the largest builder in the Tampa area and had a great conversation with their general foreman because I was worried about getting empty lots and getting away with them. And he gave me a criteria. I've got a list of what they want, where they want it, and how much they're willing to pay.
Beautiful. Do they do scrapes or they just want dirt?
No, they want dirt, but they have others where they run into things that they pass on. They're you know, they are from the floor up builder, 200 plus a year. And
yeah,
so
nice.
And that's what I was looking for because we were running into a lot of empty lots in neighborhoods that are transitioning, and I was wanting somebody to put the right house into it. So I'm excited about that and got it on the other acquisition person, get him busy.
Yep. That's killer. Here's the thing. If you have a buyer that's that big that wants dirt, same method. Have your bird dog go find dirt. I mean, they can find whatever you want them to find, whatever you pay them to find. So, you know, you probably send them out to find houses, but you say, hey, if you ever see a vacant lot, I want you to jot it down, see if you can grab the address. If not, grab the two addresses of the houses that it's between so you can go figure it out.
Our bicycle guy is doing that real well.
Perfect.
He finds an empty lot.
Perfect. I'm telling you, too. Pay your bird dogs to pull over if they're social and they see a dumpster and a house being renovated, pull over, have them pull over, walk inside, ask if the owner's on site. They probably aren't. They might be. If they are, grab a business card, name and number, and just give them a quick little script. Say, hey, I'm a field rep for a real estate company, and, I'd love to have our owner give you a call. Are you guys still buying in the area? Because you already know they like the area, right? There's a roll-off in front of the house, and they're doing work. So either it's a landlord cleaning out a rental, getting ready to turn it over, in which case they own in the neighborhood, or if there's fix-and-flip activity in the neighborhood, that's what they're doing. So have them pop in and see if they can get a name and number of the owner for you.
Will do.
They're out and about anyway. Yeah, you get a bird dog, you train them on a couple of different things, and they'll start bringing it all in. Oh, this one, if they ever see a bandit sign, they've got to write down the number or stop and, you know, take a picture of it really quick. You want to see all the bandit signs in your neighborhoods. So tell your bird dog that. Tell them you'll just pay them as a lead. Tell them, you probably want to give them, you know, maybe have them text it to you, but it's still a lead. Pay them $3 for it. You've got another active buyer, seller, whatever the case. Somebody's got a bandit sign out. Call those all day long. So a lot of times the bandit sign will, you know, sometimes they'll say, we buy houses, right? Or I'll buy your house. I'll give you an offer. They also, you'll see reverse bandit signs that you all can use and other investors use that say, you know, I've got a contract or a property for sale in this neighborhood. That's also really effective. But either way, I mean, a lot of times, right, it's going to be a wholesaler or somebody with cash that has those signs out. Either way, it's somebody you want to know. Anything else, you guys?
I don't think so.
No? Okay. It's all about those numbers. You got to know where they're at. How many are telling you, right? And the key one, everything else is in place for one key KPI, and that's how many offers did we make today? How many offers did we make this week? So you can't go to bed on Friday night thinking, God, why don't we have a deal? If you look back and you had zero offers for the week. I mean, you can, but you'll automatically know the answer, right? We have got to get offers out there. And I know I've said this before too, but you want to know the big difference between Rob's business and most other investors? They make 100 times more offers than most other investors.
Right.
They're making offers. All their sales guys are making offers on a daily basis. And then you wonder how they have back-to-back-to-back-to-back six-figure months. That's how. Put two or three salespeople on the phone. You already know how to generate leads. You know how to find salespeople. They're easy to train. These high-D salespeople don't ask a ton of questions, right? Give me a list and give me a script. And put two or three salespeople on the phone with these leads and tell them that your goal is to talk to people to start out. We have to be making an offer a day. And in 2 weeks, I want you making two offers a day, whatever it takes. Put that in front of them. See what happens. I just talked to Chris today. I told him it before, but we had to revisit it. We operate to make offers. That's it. So let's rock and roll. So, and he already knew that. I just had to remind him. Number one goal. Who else?
Hello, Mike, it's Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Not much. As far as updates, like I said, earlier we called, I got one of the deals that's closing tomorrow. We almost hit a hiccup, man, because he was doing some inspection on the property and found a little water leak.
Okay.
But, you know, I was able to, kind of middleman an agreement between those two, in which, you know, I'm going to still get paid tomorrow, but they're going to leave some money in escrow until he, you know, gets it looked at by his contractor. So they have to get all the utilities on and everything. But, you know, we already got the addenda signed, you know, turned in, so everything's a go. All the closing documents are signed by my buyer. The seller will be going in tomorrow about 11 a.m. To finalize it. So I should be getting, you know, a wire at some point tomorrow, so I'm excited about that.
Yep, should be. Good stuff.
Yeah, other than that, I've kind of just been beating the ground. We talked about earlier, I was going to give that my sales farm person a chance through the week to see, you know, what he was going to really do. I didn't even give him a chance to Friday or to the end of the week. So I parted ways with him on, was that day before yesterday? Because I just didn't feel, I just didn't get the motivation from him. He wasn't putting in the time like I needed to be put in. So I've actually got another guy on the line. This is a guy that, man, I'm really, really excited about because he has, he said he has about 15 years worth of real estate experience. He's actually an older gentleman. He's like 60 years old, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's super motivated. He's a young guy. He's like a young talking guy. He's super motivated. He's been doing commission sales for the last 20 years.
Okay.
He said that's all he does is, you know, hit the phones and cold calls. So
yeah.
He's, you know, he's excited about the opportunity. So I'm going to give him a shot. I'm going to get him set up tonight.
That's all you can do.
Get off this call. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him a shot and see what he does.
Sometimes you get fired up about somebody and they do nothing. Other times you're like, yeah, I'll give this person a shot and they kill it. You just never know. It's hard to say. So
right.
Like you said, you know, set them up a campaign in FreedomSoft. Put 20, 30, 40, 50 leads in there, whatever you think, then get through and see what they can do.
Yeah.
Tell them, you know, work these and there's more where this came from. So you can just control that lead flow to them. But, yeah, that real estate experience, obviously, when they get to the offer stage, that'll come in handy. Because that'll be a piece of cake for somebody like that. So,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. How long is it usually before you want guys putting in offers? I mean, do you let them see how that first week is going to go, and then you kind of gradually
Have them set you up. Yep. Have them set you up on a couple. You want to call and, you know, present the offer. And it's really, you know, a couple different ways to do it, right? And I'll tell you how I'm doing it. And then here are the couple ways. You can simply make the offer, call them back.
Okay.
I like to present it like in a house in this condition, in this neighborhood, we're accustomed to paying about $7,500. I can put together an all-cash offer for you that. With those terms right now, close in the next 30 days, does that number work for you? If you want to go straight to the number. What we do, and I was talking about this maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, but I have Chris, my sales guy, give him a range, and the range is big. And they'll say,
okay.
You know, Ryan, we haven't seen the inside of the house yet, but what I can tell you is our typical purchase range in this neighborhood based on condition is anywhere from, you know, $5,000 to about $18,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realize that's a wide range. You know, to narrow this down, I'd love to get our guy over there for an inspection. When can we get him in the house? And then, we pay him $25 to go over, take a bunch of photos, and then we go back. So now they've heard this offer could be as low as 5. It could be as good as 18. And what we find during the inspection is going to determine that. So it's another $25 out of pocket, but I feel like that money saves us money on the ones we get under contract and buy. So we pay it,
yep.
But you don't have to.
Okay.
That's how we're
okay.
doing. And you want that price range to be big. You want them to hear, ooh, this could be as bad as, or this could be as good as.
Okay.
Right? And then we're going to look at the house and say, hey, we went through inspection. You know, this thing needs a ton of work. I told you our price range beforehand, you know, I can give you $6,500 for it. And now that number isn't a surprise. They've already heard it. There's
right.
less sticker shock, right? So that's how we're doing it. Either way
okay.
can work. Either
okay.
way.
All right. Now, as far as like you distributing leads to your phone salesperson, do you do that in batches? Like you just give them like 50 at a time, or do you just give them access to the campaigns?
Nope.
Okay.
That's how I do it. So I always each Bird Dog has their own campaign. That's where all the leads are coming in. My VA has access to those campaigns, so they can just skip trace everything that's coming in, and then. New salesperson Bob comes on board, set up a campaign. I'll go into that Bird Dog campaign, select, you know, they're 20 a page, so maybe I'll select two pages, that's 40. And then you go into that gray toolbar in FreedomSoft, and it says campaign. And you click it, and it'll show all the campaigns that you have. So I would click Bob's campaign, click apply, and those 40 would now be viewable from two different places. They'll be viewable
okay.
from the Bird Dogs campaign, the campaign of origin, right? and they're also viewable now from Bob's campaign, those 40.
So would changes made to on either side affect both sides?
They do.
So
the same
changes,
lead.
Okay.
You can just see it from two different.
Forward.
Access it from two different places is the way that works.
Okay,
yep.
great. Yeah, because I was wondering about how I was going, you know, distribute the leads. So I just open them up, you know, if I have 300 leads, I just give them all. So I'm going to just feed them, you know, 50 at a time, something like that.
Yeah, because you don't want it would be rare that somebody would do this, but you give them access to 2,000 and they just start jotting down, you know, doing screenshots or whatever and selling your leads. Or I mean, it's not likely. It is possible. So, yeah, I'm just releasing them as needed.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Especially with somebody new. Move over 40 of them. That's probably a couple days. You know, if they're full-time, they can blow through 15 to 20 a day, something like that. So, you know, you give them a couple days' worth and see what they can come up with.
Cool. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
All right, man. Other than that, man, I'm just trying to get some reliable bird dogs to really get out and really bring some stuff in. I still been kind of battling with that. So I opened up, I reposted it, so I've been getting a lot of feedback from that, and I'm just trying to find somebody who's dependable. So I got one open for, you know, in my home market, and I got one for my remote market, so I'm going to get both of those going.
Nice.
So I'm going to see what I can, I'm going to see if I can get some guys started, set up tonight, so that they can get out tomorrow. I probably got about 50 emails I'll have to go through and kind of sort through and, you know, reach out to some folks and see who fits best. So hopefully I can get at least two people, at least my goal is to get two people started tonight, and one in each zip code. So I'm going to see how that goes. And other than that, I'm going to try to reach out to some buyers. I've been using the suggestion you made as far as, like, you know, going on Craigslist and Zillow and, you know, shooting a quick text message. And over the past couple of days, I've made contact probably with about 7 buyers. I probably contacted out of the 7, probably 3 of them was, you know, actively buying right now. So I was able to get all of their criteria, all their information, so, and add them to the list. So
nice.
That was definitely a positive. So I'm just keep beating the pavement, Mike, and, you know,
that's it.
Keep those leads coming in, keep making contact with the buyer. So, and I also got another live when I'm alive. So that's why I've been shooting out the messages to the buyers to try to get someone on the line for this one. So
good.
We'll see how it goes. I have one guy that seemed like he's interested, so I'm gonna see what he's talking about.
Cool. Yeah, everything in life has, you know, a couple basic fundamentals. There aren't usually 1,000. There are a handful, right? So are we generating leads? Are we talking to sellers? Are we meeting buyers? Are we making offers? I mean, you want to boil this thing down? Now, yeah, there's some moving pieces in each one of those, but stay on that, right? You heard me say earlier, you're at the point now, you've got leads coming in, you've got to dial in a salesperson. You know, stay on the bird dogs, find a couple that are committed. But it's all about how many offers can we make?
Yeah,
how many
absolutely.
Offers can we make? And we, you know, it's Thursday, so we still have Friday. So I got a hold of a list from a guy. He's a property manager, and he's got some properties that we looked at. Some buyers out of California wanted to get rid of them. And so we're gonna do a little bulk offer on 12 of them tomorrow. So those opportunities are going to come by as well, but it really is how many offers can we get out the door this week? And then that boils down to how many can we do per day so you hit the weekly goal. So that's the goal with salespeople. That's all it is. If they're setting you, they're setting you to make an offer. I mean, it goes, if they talk to somebody that's motivated and they get details on a house, you're calling them back to either offer them a price, one of the options I just explained, or give them the price range and say, when can we get a quick inspection done on your house? When can you let our person in? So.
Okay. Sounds good.
But that,
yep,
that's
the plan.
I mean, that's the goal. So good stuff. Who else?
Yep.
Yeah. Good update.
Hey, this is Larry Allen.
Larry, what's happening?
Not much, man. So I have a deal in my home market that came back alive today, and my buyer jumped on it. So we should close that next week.
What are the numbers look like?
So this is a rental.
Okay.
It's so the daughter has power of attorney over her dad. She's taking care of her dad now. She wants to walk away with $12,000. They owe $48,000, and it needs $10,000. I'm getting it, and so I'm getting it from her at $57,000 with a $5,000 wholesale fee to my buyer at $62,000.
Okay. And you said it's a rental?
It's a rental. The market rent is $1,000. It was vacant when we started talking to her 6 months ago, and
yeah.
And so she rented it out for $800, but the market rent is $1,000. The lease ends in August. My my buyer is fine with still carrying it at that $800 rent, but I priced it per the market rent.
And you said it needs 10?
It needs 10. Yeah, the it's fine now, but the roof is old and the AC is old.
Okay. So those couple pretty easy fixes. How big is it?
960 square feet. Three bedroom.
Okay,
and
so depending on your roofing company, $3,000 to $5,000 for a roof and then an AC unit, huh?
Yeah,
$2,500 there. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
They did carpet
yeah.
paint and all that stuff already.
Okay. So
but,
you
know,
buyer picked it up at 62, knowing that it needs 10.
Yeah.
So 72. So let's put a real world number to this. So it's 800 through for a couple more months, about half the year, but then 1,000.
Correct.
So $1,000, right? Times 70%. That's obviously 700 a month. Net times 12, 8,400 net annual. And then they're going to pick it up for 62, but it needs 10. That's 72, and we'll call it. Let's call it 74. Total acquisitions and renovation price with closing costs. So 8,400 net annual divided by 74,000, 11.3 cap. And this buyer took this without much effort, it sounds like, on your part.
Yeah, I got the call today, and I was trying to set up the inspection for later on this week, but the tenant was only
yep.
free today, so my buyer went out there. I've never seen the house, so my buyer went out. But, this is my home market, so I have a relationship with this buyer.
Larry, wait. You cannot wholesale a house that you've never seen. Back up.
I do it all the time,
I
do it all the time.
Sometimes my sarcasm doesn't come through very well on the call.
Yes, but
that wasn't the plan,
but I had to do it today because I didn't want. We've been chasing this lady, and as a matter of fact, I still got to get everything signed. But she agreed to it. She came down. She wanted 15, walk away with 15, and she agreed to walk away with 12 after we did the walkthrough and told her that it still needed repairs, even though they made repairs.
Yeah, cool.
So I'm typing that up now. As far as my remote market, so my short leash acquisitions guy, he's gone now. He never started working again, so he's gone. I'm going to do his job until his replacement comes on. His replacement was supposed to start Monday, but he works for a builder, and the last house in the neighborhood, the closing fell through, and he doesn't get his commission unless he's there when it closes. So he asked me for another
yep.
week. So so this is that week, and hopefully he'll be able to start next week. But regardless, even if he starts, what I'm realizing now is I'm going to do all of the jobs, even when I have people. I'm never going to – it's not going to be my job to do the jobs, but I'm going to continue to do them. That way I'm never at a place where I'm not producing anything because of other people. And then if they outperform me or if they perform consistently, then I'll consider stopping.
Yeah. Yeah, that can work. This personnel thing, it comes up on almost every call, right? I brought a sales guy on last week, and he came in, made calls for one day, and now he's in the wind. So turned off his access to our Freedom Soft account, and he hasn't checked in now in 48 hours. So moving on. That's just
right.
That's part of it. And that's part of, you own any business anywhere, there's turnover. So we're not immune to it, obviously. But, man, when you go on, you know, you get, right, you're good at hiring people, stay at it, keep the ad posted, find one or two that are good, you know, and it'll just be a good fit. You might have to go through a few to find it. But then when you can go on those good runs for, you know, whether it's 12 months or 5 years, whatever it is, it'll be worth it because, you know, the people are out there. And they're looking for a good opportunity on the phone, good salespeople. So,
what I'm looking forward to next week, I want to duplicate what I'm doing in El Paso into some other markets. So I'm hoping that that volume forces me to produce as well.
Yeah, it will. You know, when you put that kind of good pressure, like we talk about on the business, sometimes it's a salesperson, and you think, holy smokes, I got to generate leads for this person, or you know, you bring on a couple or a disposition, right? You just force yourself to get it moving. And that's I'm all for it. I'm all for that stuff. When we get a little uncomfortable because now we need to perform, that's a great place to sit. So
that's where I am.
All right.
That's where I am. I'm happy about what I've learned. I'm just trying to push it now.
That's it. That's it. Yeah, Larry, it's right there. So, you know, keep your ad posted. Like I said, we just read it our sales ad today. We got to find somebody else. We got to get a second person in so we're ready for them. That's it. You know, more of the same. Keep your foot on the gas. And, you know, as owner, you guys, again, the conversation that we're always talking about is you're going to work in the business, but you also have to be working on it. So, you know, you can start to have the conversation, you know, like what Larry just said, he wants to launch in another market. Maybe you have a goal in the next 30 days. So you start spending some time, you know, looking at P ratios and that kind of thing. And then as soon as they are, right, get some bird dogs moving over there. I mean, you can have – here's the thing about vacant leads, and this is why they're so unique. If you send out a direct mail piece and you get 20 responses, you want to call those 20 responses today and tomorrow, right? If you have a bird dog and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to open a new market, I'm going to Phoenix, Arizona, and you're not ready with a salesperson yet, but you can get on the phone and hire a bird dog down there, and they go and find, you know, 300 leads, and then you have them skip trace. Those leads are going to be as good, if not better, in 6 months than they're going to be today. Now, some of the houses may be sold, but vacant real estate causes problems, and it costs money. So vacant leads are like wine, right? They get better with time for us because the longer that house sits there, more problem it's likely causing. So it's a unique category of lead, right? Every direct response lead that you generate, you've got to be either you're calling them back or your salesperson's calling them back immediately. But that you don't have to be so quick with vacants, right? So clearly, if you're going to generate leads, call them and pull some deals out of it. But I'm just saying, if you wanted to, you say, I don't have a salesperson who can handle this yet, but hey, I'm gonna think ahead. I'm gonna get some leads generated over here. I'm gonna get them skip trace. And when I'll find another salesperson and tell them I've got 500 leads for you in the market right now. So you can do that with vacants, right? It's a unique category of leads in real estate. So, yeah, Larry, good update, good stuff. You know, I know you're working in the business when you have to, on the business, still running a full-time job, and a lot of good things moving. So, who else?
This is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, so, I had finally got some traction this week. It's been a little slow and going, and I definitely haven't been I'm very impatient when it comes to not seeing things happening, so but I definitely really got a lot of stuff happening. I got 8 bird dogs going, and these people out in this area, I got a perspective from the sales guy over an email into the team, but the guy called on the ad I had for my bird dog. And he was more inquiring about what I was doing, because he's getting into the real estate in that area. And
okay.
His little conversation turned into a sales guy interview, and I talked to him for a good amount of time. Then go have the disc test. A couple hours later, he'd give me the results back. I looked them over. He's pegged the needle on a thigh at 99%, and he was like 89% on a D. He's like at the right temperament, and I just had a nice conversation at the end about it, interviewed him pretty in depth, and about 45 minutes into our second conversation, I hit him with the question and said, you know, I don't know, I don't know if I'm feeling this. Like, I'm not sure. I'm just kind of stopped, and he come out swinging. He come out swinging. He wasn't aggressive. You know, just being confrontational, he just was very certain, like, you know what? He's a sales guy, he's got experience, he said, I can do it. I ain't worried about it.
Love it.
So he didn't back down at all, so
Not
too long after that, I said, got in the conversation, I'll bring you on. He was really excited about it, so in my campaign.
Cool. When did he start? Or did he already?
He wanted to start on the ground. Because he's new to the real estate side as well, and he says, any business he's ever been in or job he's done, he started from the ground up, and so he was excited about going out and getting leads. And he's brought in 30-some leads in probably about 6 hours of being out.
Okay.
So I told him that I need to get the leads coming in. Once I get the leads coming in and skip traced, then I'll have him start making calls.
Okay, so he's doing a little bird dogging too.
He was happy about it. He said it's fine. It's kind of menial work, but the leads he's brought in, he's really intuitive, so he's seeing things that training a bird dog to do would be pretty difficult. Condition of the house and looking at the signs on the windows, postings and stuff, and see what they are. I told him to keep an eye on the dates for any building permits or anything. If they're way out of date, they probably are abandoned again.
Right.
So he definitely, he's been rocking.
Nice. So here's what you want to do. If he's good on the phone, get him there ASAP, and obviously don't let him go back to driving around snapping photos.
Sure.
Because he's got the temperament to be in sales, and that he's going to want to get paid that way anyway.
Yeah.
So that's a... That goes from a job that anybody can do to a job that we need a very specific personality type to really excel at. So, cool. Good stuff. How many vacant leads do you currently have in? What's the
right now? I went from about 30 to about 80 in a matter of 2.5 days.
Okay.
So,
good. So you're getting the gap there. You've got a skip tracer that's active working. Okay.
I did. I got. He's going to get in. I gave him access to the freedom stock. He's going to get in there. He's in India, so they're obviously in the morning. He's going to get in there when he gets up and start going through those. So by tomorrow, I would assume we start getting some numbers to start calling.
Okay. Yeah. Get that guy on the phone, because obviously that's the talking to sellers is the activity at this point that will turn into money. So. Get him off the streets and get him in there dialing for sellers.
But he's been in that area for his whole life, and he says it's it is a tourist town, he said. And he says everybody down there, it's in the beach. He says everybody's in the beach mode all the time, so they're not in any hurry to do anything. He was in sales and hired and trained a lot of people, and he just kind of had that insight to that area. I mean, I've got 8 bird dogs out there, and getting numbers to come in is difficult. And he did it in a mediocre neighborhood in a few hours.
Yeah.
It's been – and I'm not getting no major influx.
That's that. That's
people
that high
coming in.
Coming out. So.
Yeah.
You know, you get somebody – I tell you what creates motivation is a vacant house that's affecting somebody's pocketbook. So.
Yeah, okay.
You may struggle a little bit to find bird dogs, put the team together, but there are high D motivated people all over the place, so you'll find them. You know, persistence, like you said, it's taking it a little bit. You learn a few things to come together quicker, but persistence wins. So,
yeah,
good
just,
stuff, Mike. Get that guy on the phone as soon as possible. That's where you want him. How many skip trace leads do you currently have?
The ones that they had got me that round, I don't know if it's worth starting to put him onto those because there's only one number per, so I think that might just be a waste of time unless he's got enough numbers to follow up with on each lead.
Yeah, you want multiple on there, but you've got. I'm telling you, get whatever you have in skip trace. Hire a VA. Tell them I have X number. I need them done in 48 hours. You got to have Lexus. If you can do that, I'll hire you right now and get those knocked out so that guy can get, quit taking pictures and start dialing.
Yeah.
So, all right. Beautiful. Anything else?
No. Yes.
Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff. When you have leads in the door and a salesperson ready to rock and roll, it's right there. Let's put those two together. So who else? Anybody?
Yeah, Mike, it's Clark.
Hey, Clark.
Yeah, I just tuned in. I just heard someone about getting VAs. I'm having trouble getting VAs for the skip trace. They all say they'll do it. Then when I turn them on to FreedomSoft, they kind of balk. No one wants to, learn it.
Nobody wants to learn
the guys I've talked to. Well, going into FreedomSoft, learning how to input all the data. Yeah.
Yeah.
So all they really do is
copy-paste. So there's that training video in the are you sending them the training video in the coaching center that they can just watch?
Well, I've even made it simpler. I've just put the steps down, one through 10. It's pretty basic. They say they'll do it, but they're not doing it. So
I'm pretty sure there's a video in there that we recorded and just parked on Vimeo that you can send them to that shows them how to do it by video. So, and then at the end of the day, it's just keep the ad posted, talk to more until you find somebody that'll do it. You're going to go through VAs. It's just a reality of it. So,
okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I figured that's kind of what it was.
Yeah. Find that video. I can't tell you exactly which step it's in, but there's a video to a Vimeo link that bird dogs watch. Yep. Or your VAs, I mean.
Your VAs. How do you get them access to that?
It's a Vimeo link. So you just send it to them, email it to them.
Oh, just, okay.
Yep. If I remember right, we parked it. Yeah, so you don't have to give them any access. We just parked it on Vimeo and said, here's the link, send them here, and they can watch it. So we just made it public.
Okay.
So. If you can't find it, let me know. But I'll find the link for you. Shoot me an email, but I'm not online right now.
Very good. Yeah, I'll do that. I just the initial response wasn't very exciting. I mean, got a couple of guys said, I guess they'd done it before. One guy said, "Yeah, FreedomSoft, it kills my time. I don't want to do it." So, some guys have experience with it before.
It's really a copy paste. All they're going to do is copy and paste into FreedomSoft. So
yeah,
there should be somebody out there that'll be fine with it. It doesn't take a ton of time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, when I'm trying to put the addresses for my bird dog leads and trying to find the owner, I'm getting a lot of responses saying that there are too many addresses.
Too many records found or something?
No, too many addresses. This corresponds to too many addresses, and we can't give you what you want, basically.
Do you have the zip? Do you have the zip code in there? If not, add the zip, save it, and then click find owner.
No, I've been doing that. Half of the ones that.
Send me a couple of those. Send me a couple of those. Email either the URL for the lead or email me the addresses over to the coaching center. I want to go in and try them.
Okay.
Because I haven't had too many issues with that, so let me snoop around
a little bit
tomorrow.
It was working fine for one of my bird dogs, but I just noticed last night that as I tried to find addresses myself, about probably half the ones I tried came up with that response.
Okay.
So let me find out. I'll send you a couple in.
Yeah, next time you see if you shoot me a couple. I want to look into it.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else?
Hey, Mike, this is Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
I don't have much update. I do have my closing date for the property for the first one. The second one, I don't have a date yet. I'm still working through that, but my ad is up. I got some people coming in. I'm starting to I put the test out. I'm getting some of that, some feedback from that, so I should have some of that.
Bird dogs and salespeople, or specifically sales acquisition?
Salespeople. I really got to get my bird dog. After I get off the call, I'm actually going to just go through my list again. I'm going to hire about six. I heard a lot of people saying they have way more. I was concerned about having too many leads coming in, but you know, I don't think that's going to be a problem. You know, people say they're going to do and don't, so I'm just going to overhire.
Yeah, that's the thing about these, like I was saying, these vacants. If you don't get to them for a couple months, so be it. I mean, they're you know, that's two more months that the house sat vacant. Problem's probably worse. So, yeah, you can go out of the gate with a bunch of bird dogs if you want. I mean, if you find somebody right up front that can handle, you know, that's willing to drive, you don't need to. But if you're not there, and you're you know, you want your lead count up, then yeah, get multiple people started.
Okay. Yep. So yeah, I got that going on today, and I've been talking with buyers, so I got some buyers. Then I just gotta get some properties.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Like I just said a while ago, the personnel thing is always going to come up. Every business is a people business, so manage it. You know, get a few people, a few good folks in each seat, and starts to become a well-oiled machine, right? But you got to get it there. So keep talking to them until.
I did have a question about a disposition person. I have a agent that wants to work with me. Is that how do you feel about that?
It depends. Are they expecting you to pay them as an agent and they want to just be paid their commission, or do they want to be paid like a 1099 member of your team?
We was working on that part. I was thinking to pay them as a 1099 member of my team. Right now, he's taking pictures for me of properties and, you know, evaluating them for me. So, I'm giving them first look at a lot of my properties.
Either can work. It just depends on the arrangement, but I'm not against it. I tell you what I do is I'd give them a disc test, because that's a sales disposition. Is a sales position. You want the same profile on acquisitions, high D, high I. You want the same person. So are they a successful agent?
Yes, he's an agent investor, and he does pretty well in the area. He's not a high-volume guy,
Here's what's kind of interesting about this. This is an agent/investor, so they've got a deal on the table that you need to move, or one that they're looking into for their own portfolio. Where's their time going to go, would you guess?
Their own.
I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be really cautious about that. And if you want to, just bring that up in the conversation and say, hey, I think you'd be a great fit. Here's my concern. I need to hire a person who's going to put this, all right, my company first. And, my concern is that you've got some other things going on, which is fantastic. if it comes down to you only have time to cover one, and we've got a deal that needs to be sold, and you've got your own personal deal that you're working on, my gut tells me you're going to go to your own personal. And that's not, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to have to ultimately be the judge of that situation, but can that person with their current job and the fact that they're an investor, can they give your deal the attention you think they deserve?
Mm-hmm.
That's where there could be a conflict, right? Because you feel like, hey, this should be most important to you. They feel like this may be secondary to them. I'm just saying it could be a potential hang-up. So tackle it now if you're going to bring them on. At least have a conversation about it.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, that was the last thing because I have he's actually taken a couple of buyers through for me, and I guess that's I can pay him as an agent because he'll be and he can get his commission on that.
I was gonna say if you don't, I don't know that they need to be dispositions. You can bring them a deal and say, you know, I'm selling it for $50,000. Put your commission on top of that. If you bring me a buyer first, game on, get paid.
Okay.
You know, we would never sell or sign an exclusive agreement on an investment property. If another agent wants to market it, that's mm-hmm. that's how I word it. Say, first of all, that this isn't going to be exclusive. I'm going to be marketing it too, but absolutely mm-hmm. feel free to, you know, I'm selling it for 50. Feel free to put your commission on top of that. And if you can find me a buyer, then let's go. You know, rock and roll.
Okay.
But just don't give them the exclusive right to market it.
All right.
Yep. And if they're also an investor, they'll get that. Shouldn't even be a hang up.
Okay.
The only caveat to that is if you had an agent approach you and say, I have a massive list of investment buyers,
mm-hmm.
you bring me deals like this, and I'll tell you, I can move every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, if I had somebody tell me that with that level of confidence, I might say, hey, how much time do you need to sell deals that look like this? Get an answer and say, I'll give you, when a deal goes under contract, I'll give you the first 21 days before I do any marketing of my own, something like that. But you would have to have somebody be really confident and convincing that they can move your deals for you. But if they could do it, the beauty of an agent is you don't have to pay them, especially if you're telling them, put your commission on my price. You're saving yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, 10% paying a disposition person that's on your team. So not saying it can't work,
mm-hmm.
but just make sure that you set it up right. That's all.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, I like that way better, just paying it, putting his commission on top. I think that'll work out best for both of us.
You know, that way that just, yeah, you never have the conversation about why aren't you moving this because they're busy doing
mm-hmm.
something else. So
okay.
It seems like that might make a little more sense. But, you know, have the conversation and figure out what's the win-win for both parties.
Okay.
So, yeah,
all
good
right,
stuff.
Sounds good.
What else? Anything else?
No, that's it. That's all I had this time.
Okay. Who else? Questions and or updates? Going once, going twice.
Is that it? I got a question,
right.
Mike, on something
yeah.
FreedomSoft. With the additional phone numbers
yep.
that you can buy through FreedomSoft,
yep.
how does that work with you just forwards it to and from your whatever number you put in for yours? Like if I have, like if I buy a number out of there that's
yep.
zip coded to the area that we're working in, and
yep.
if people are calling that number, will it forward to my phone, or is it always just going to capture it in the system and then you have to go back and try to
It'll
contact those people after? Okay.
Yeah, it can do whatever you tell it to. So when you buy the number, once it's in your account, over on the right side of that My Numbers page, there's a little the edit icon in FreedomSoft, which is that little pencil. Click on it, and a pop-up window will show up, and you can record your voice message. You can auto forward it. That's where you control all that stuff. So it'll do whatever you tell it to do. So if you just buy it and don't do anything and somebody calls it, it's going to get the stock voice recording, which is a sort of female-ish sounding robotic voice that just says leave a message.
Okay.
So until you go in and record your own voicemail or forward it to your cell phone, you can, you know, you can type in and save your text or call auto response messages, that kind of thing. But yeah, so it'll do whatever you set it up to do, either or.
Okay.
Yep.
I was curious about that. I'm using an app on my phone called Flip.
Okay.
And it gives you the ability to add up to like 5 lines to your existing phone service. It uses your own data.
Okay.
But
okay.
Sounds like a great idea, and it would be if it was, well, I guess, as reliable. But I've been using it since I started the real estate here in Colorado, you know, like 6 months ago, and it's been working okay. But now that I'm getting a lot of traffic through it, I've been missing some texts and sending some texts to some of my bird dogs, and they're not getting them, and a few things are just kind of hokey. So it's about eight bucks a month for this line, and it's only a month to month, so I could cancel it at any time.
Right.
So it's not a big deal to cut and run with it, but I just want something that can be reliable.
Yeah, you want your salespeople to have a number, whether that's a Google Voice number on their phone, a FreedomSoft number. It can all work, but you want obviously you want that stuff going right back to them for when people call back.
Okay.
No question. So, but yeah, FreedomSoft numbers will do full fan, whatever you tell them. So,
okay.
Hey, Mike. So, are you sending that guy up for those numbers to forward, or are you forwarding to his phone, or are you going to send them straight to voicemail and then he's calling them back?
So, my sales guy Chris, he comes out of a sales business, and he had a little phone thing set up that he's calling from.
Okay.
Rob's, you know, that's the thing. A lot of different setups can work. Rob has, he has his sales people calling right out of FreedomSoft on a FreedomSoft number. Because now you can, I don't know if you all saw the message, I think it was last week, but you can now record all
right,
the phone calls in FreedomSoft.
I really like that.
Yeah. So Rob's got that turned on. A lot of different systems work. You know, find something that works with your sales teams. But, Freedom, you know, certainly you can run it all through FreedomSoft. The capability's there for sure. And then it tracks your, it'll track each number, how many calls were made, how many inbound calls, call duration, that kind of thing. So you know who's actually dialing and who's not.
Right.
Right. They can't just tell you that they are.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Now, are you, if you have a number through FreedomSoft and you're forwarding that number, you know, all calls to your sales phone, your phone salesperson, does it still track those and record those also?
Not if they answered on that, no. The conversation has to be happening in FreedomSoft is my understanding.
Okay.
That's a great question though. I don't believe so. What it will do is say you've got a FreedomSoft number that forwards to your cell phone, and if you don't answer, FreedomSoft will grab it back and they can leave a message in FreedomSoft. So it hangs on to it until it's picked up. And I think if it's picked up, it then transfers over to the number and the device that answered. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I plan on having all mine through FreedomSoft anyway. So I was just curious about it, just in case he asked about it. One other question. Now, when you finally, you know, when we finally close deals, how are you usually, you know, paying your phone salesperson their commission? Are you just like sending them a check? Are you wiring it to them? How are you doing that?
Yeah, it just depends. Typically not a wire because I have to pay for it. Our sales guy's local, so we can do a deposit. You know, we can run a deposit to his bank. You can PayPal it. Just, you know, figure out something that works for them where they're not getting paid any kind of commission on it. You can friends and family through PayPal and get it that way. What you want to do, obviously, is, you know, a check you can track for accounting purposes, because right, you're going to have all that stuff come tax time, which it is now, next couple months here. So, yeah, there, I don't think there's really a right or wrong way to do it. Just make sure you can track it for tax reasons. Yep.
All right. And one, my last question, as far as tracking, you know, we set weekly goals for the phone salesperson. How are you tracking it? Are you putting it like in a spreadsheet or something like that, or how are you doing that?
Yeah, you know, they can, yeah, they can either update you through FreedomSoft. They can shoot you a message. You know, whatever tracking method you want that the two of you agree to. So if after every shift they shoot you a quick text that just says, here's what I did, if you want to create a Google Doc around it, that's fine. So you can be tracking all that stuff and offers made. I mean, you know, whatever works for you all. I think I've talked about Slack on here a couple times.
Yeah,
Slack is a great little team communicator. I think Rob still wants to build an internal team communicator in FreedomSoft. He hasn't yet, but to put a small team on Slack, it's free still, I believe. And you can put the app on your phone and communicate that way. But I talk to Chris about every day anyway and just ask him. We just kind of have a debrief at least one time during the day. You know, I could easily automate that and just say, hey, shoot me a text. So whatever your preference is and whatever works with your salesperson. Just as long
Yeah, and I was kind of talking about as far as like, you know, say they hit their weekly goal, but, of 17,000, but, you know, those deals don't close for 30 days.
I got it. Yeah,
a
Google Doc works good for that because it's in the cloud. You can access it. They can access it. And then you can just go back to the date. You can just have them. They can put down the address, you know, contract on this date. And that way you can just go back and just track it that way. And it's all cloud-based. So,
cool.
Yeah, I like Google Docs for that. Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Set up a little spreadsheet for each salesperson, something like that.
Yep. Sounds good.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yep. What else? All right. Looks like we got all the questions covered. So, yeah, great stuff, everybody. Any questions prior to the weekend, obviously, get them in tomorrow. We got a couple closings happening, and that's all good stuff. And a lot of you are just right there, so stay on it, right? More leads. Find a reliable skip tracer. I get the personnel side. I get just as frustrated as you all do sometimes. You know, if you're looking for personnel, keep that ad run. Until is the right word. Keep the ad run until you find them. Keep talking to people until you find them. They're out there. This is just part of the game, being business owner. So, like I said, a lot of you are right there. You know, get the right personality salesperson on the phone with these leads and turn them loose. All right?
Okay. This is Larry Potts.
Yeah. Hey, Larry.
I got a question. I've been going through actually sending out an offer on the contract.
Okay.
But my question comes in, if they accept it, I've got X number of days to sell that contract. If I don't sell the contract, I haven't went into the part where, what's the next move, boss? How am I going to finance this? What am I going to do with this offer? And I haven't reached that part in FreedomSoft or in the training as far as funding sources.
Yeah, so properly disclosed. If your intent is to never close it and only to assign or wholesale it, just be clear on your intent.
Okay.
And if the contract goes out and you can't find a buyer, communicate with the seller and say, Larry, here's how I operate, and I'm not going to hide anything from you. This is how I do business. I've gone out and built and networked with a lot of the top investor buyers that are looking toward distressed real estate like this property you own. And so here's how this works. I'm not going to be the buyer on this deal, but what I can do is I can still help solve your problem because I have access to a lot of the top buyers in the area. So let's get the paperwork in place. We'll put a 30-day window on there. Let me go to work, and I'll do my best to find you a buyer. And all along the way, I'm not going to promise that I can get this deal sold, but I feel good about it, so I'm going to give it my best effort. Are you okay with that? And that's it, part of the script and the conversation. Fully disclose what is your intent and who are you in the transaction.
Okay.
If you are
I
not
remember
buyer,
it now.
Disclose
yeah.
That you're not
right
buyer.
Right now, all these different things are
yep.
Coming together.
Okay, so if you get to the end and it hasn't sold, you have two options, three options. Hey, can you give me another 30 days? I think our price is still okay. Option B is the market has spoken and the price is too high. Are you willing to come down? And here's where we need to be. I've gotten a verbal from two different buyers that said, I won't pay 25 for it, but I'd pay 18. Whatever, right? So you're doing the math, so you still get paid, renegotiate the price, or, hey, just like I told you up front, I told you I'd give this thing my best effort, and I did. I talked to a lot of different people. There just wasn't an appetite for it. So, and it goes
okay.
Back, the contract goes out. Those are the three options. So as long as you disclose, the problems, our understanding on the problems, again, we're not legal, we're not attorneys, but our understanding of the issue is when investors represent themselves as one thing and then they're actually not. Or, right, they say, yes, I'm the buyer in this transaction, and they have no capacity to buy, right? They don't have the money themselves. They don't have a pre-approval letter from a hard money lender or a private lender. There's no capital there. So that's that intent and capacity video in the coaching center. You absolutely have to be aware of it. And
okay.
Then disclose,
yeah. I remember
disclose,
it now.
Disclose.
Yeah.
Cool. Beautiful.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm good.
Not
it
an issue
it back.
If you disclose. Not an issue
you know.
If you disclose. And I think when you're in that scenario, if you are not going to be the end buyer, right, because some of you may be in a position of, hey, I'm going to try and wholesale it. If I can't, I'll buy it. Own money, private money, whatever. You can call yourself buyer, right?
Right.
It still says on the contract, it's even in bold on that contract in there, buyer's sole intent is to assign this contract, right? So we're very clear about it. But yeah, the key is disclosure. And then when you're in that scenario, if you are not and will not and don't plan to be the buyer, I think a weekly update to your sellers is wise. Hey, I'm just checking in on Friday like I always do. Remember, I'm not the buyer in this scenario, but I'm talking to the network of buyers that I know. I haven't found somebody yet. I know we have 3 weeks left. Just be open about it, right? Don't let it go to the end and say, oh, remember when I said, just remind them about it. Just through conversation. And you can do it as part of an update or send them an email. Hey, here's where we're at. Remember, I'm not the buyer, but I told you that I would tap into the network, so I've started that process. I haven't found a buyer yet. I'm still going to work on it. I just wanted to keep you informed. So when you push that kind of – and email is probably even better than a phone call because there's record of it in the event that something went sideways and they said, no, you told me you were the buyer. You say, wait a minute. No, I didn't. Here's how this works. So just disclose. Don't misrepresent what you're not willing to do in the transaction. So.
Gotcha. It's kind of a difficult situation to untrain how we've been doing real estate to retrain. So bear with me on that, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
When we signed up for it,
somebody
asked many times, are you trainable? And I may be trainable. I'm not educable, but I might be able to be trained.
Well, so, somebody else on here needed to hear that again for sure. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Good question. Yep. Just don't misrepresent who you are. Full disclosure, just tell the sellers, if you sign this paperwork with me, here's what you're signing up for. That's how I operate. And that either works for you or it doesn't. You know, you take all the pressure off. Let me tell you exactly what I do. You know, you're either comfortable with that and we get the paperwork done and we move forward, or you're not and we part as friends. Just take all the pressure off the table. So, and most of the time you'll find that it's really rare that somebody will have an issue with it.
And if they don't,
like,
Move on.
Nobody else is trying to solve their problem for them. Right?
Quite.
So you can even, this is where you can even use that contract with a kickout clause, where you basically have marketing rights to their property, but if they also find a buyer, then they can go that direction and you're not exclusive. So that's even a notch, right? Even another, how am I trying to say this? That even takes the pressure off even a little bit more. Say, hey, let's do this. I've got another document we can sign that gives me access or the right to go market your property, but if somebody else comes along or if you want to post an ad and try and sell it yourself or if you have another option and they, right, they come to the table with an acceptable offer before I do, you can sell them. So it's really, you don't have to move this deal through me. You can play both and, but just knowing that, hey, if I bring an offer to the table and I'm able to find a buyer that's acceptable, then we'll close with me and, you know, they'll pay me a finder's fee for it. So that's even a notch softer to get them to sign, where they can still market it. So, yeah, good question. Anything else?
I heard that before. It takes a second time to think in. So anyway.
Yep. Yeah, and if it takes a third, ask me again. So
will do.
Yeah, that's a key piece, right? Just that's always how Rob is. You know, they've made some examples out of investors. Rob has always operated that way anyway. Just, you know, be above board. We don't have anything to hide. It's built right into the script. I'm a real estate investor. This is how I put food on the table. We buy property at severe discounts, blah, 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 blah. Right? Just get it on the table. Then there's nothing to hide. Because people, they'll read through it anyway. The second you start trying to hide something and or mislead or whatever, you know, we've all been in works with somebody like that. You just get that gut feeling something's not right here. When you fully disclose everything, you never give off that vibe or however you want to put it. So it just puts people at ease. So
yeah.
If they're not good with the situation, that's fine. Let's still be friends. You can find somebody else to help you.
Well, that's like over the last 60 days, you know, when I first started coming on the call, we had a house under contract that we were going to sign. When I did the assignment we had 60 days to close. I did the assignment with the guy and made the contract and everything, and we're supposed to close tomorrow. They come to me last week and said, do you think you can extend it for, you know, till the end of the month? And then I said, well, I don't know. And he said, well, I'll pay your commission on the 12th and put an extra $5,000 earnest money. You know, would that make your, you know, buyer, seller happy? I said, yeah, I'll go to work for that. I'm not going to go talk my mouth off for nothing. And so I took it over to him. Everything was cool. And so I get a check tomorrow, whether they average close at anything or not.
Love it.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm telling you, when you're up front, out of the gate, cause things are going to happen like that, right? Stuff happens. Business, putting deals together. So when you're honest out of the gate, you can go back and those conversations are a whole lot easier. Cause right? You're just telling them how it is. So, yeah, disclose up front and then, you know, keep your sellers updated. Here's where we're at. I mean, I fired out an email or a quick text and say, hey, we're still waiting on the title company to come back. And, you know, you'll probably have a transaction coordinator. I'll be looking at that position here in the next 60 days probably. For now, I just do it quick, shoot out a quick text. Hey, still waiting on title policy or we got it back, whatever. Just communicate, right? And then, like you said, Larry, when something goes, not really sideways, but, oh, hey, we're about to change something, if you've been up front the whole time up until that point, it's usually not a big deal. If you've, if they feel like you're trying to hide something and then you come and you want to change a closing date or whatever, suspicions start to get really high. So, disclosure, keyword, word of the day. Word of the day. Anything else? All right, everybody. Great call as always. Always good talking to this group. Any questions, get them in. Get them in by tomorrow. We do a decent job, I think, on the weekend, but we're not quite as available on the weekend. So if you've got something that comes up, definitely shoot it over tomorrow so we can get a reply to you. Have a productive couple days. Good weekend, everybody. We'll chat on Monday, okay? Back to our same schedule again after the Christmas New Year. Back to Monday, for Monday, Thursday.
Bye-bye.
Sound good?
Good, Mike.
All right, everybody.
Sounds good.
Great talking to you.
Thank you.
We'll chat soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, have a good one.
See ya. Yep, you too.
Bye.